Start your day at the Torah in Northwest London, Tuesday, 5th of Adar Sheni, 8th of March. Reino Harav Yisof of French Leiter. Are we feeling the pain of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine? This week's Torah has been sponsored. Lichvot Simchas Abra Mitzvah Shel Ben Yomi Ben Tzvi Ebed Hirotzen Shizkul Hurov Hizkein Lerav Nachas Aminim Kol Yotei Cholatayim And Refor Shalem Ashel Shraga Ben Salawi Shizkein Refor Shalem Bekor Abasur Shor Cholei Yisrael Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I was told that this year begins at 8:30 and it ends at 9 o'clock and everybody's out of here by 9:01. So I hope not to be able to go over time, but I would say that you don't have to leave at 9:01. You can say it's a beautiful thing that you have this every morning. It's a great way to start your day, and halal I viter. So I've been asked to speak about, are we feeling the pain of our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine? The mere fact that we're asking that question says so much about us. And what it says about us, as we'll explain as we go on, it says that we are Yidden, that we are Jews. When Jews think about their brothers and sisters, even though we have never met them. So why is it that this is so much a part of our existence? The answer is that this is the imperative of the concept called Naisei Ba'olam Chaveirai. And that is that literally to share the burden and pain of our brothers and sisters. In spite of the fact that those words, Naisei Ba'olam Chaveirai, do not appear anywhere in Perashe B'Chsav, but it is in fact, and it's a Mishnah, but it's not in the Torah, but nevertheless, Naisei Ba'olam Chaveirai, this concept of sharing the pain and bearing the burden, is a mitzvah asei d'oraisa. So you'll ask, where is this mitzvah asei d'oraisa? Where does it say that? The answer is that it's part of the mitzvah of the halachta bidrochov, which is a mitzvah asei d'oraisa. Halachta bidrochov means that we have to emulate the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam acts is that we have to act as well. Not only is it a mitzvah asei d'oraisa, but if I could be so bold, I would say that this particular in particular is one of the essential hanhogis of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is not just another mitzvah. This almost defines who the Ribbono Shel Olam is and who we have to be. And how greatly the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates when we act in this way. How do I know that? How do I know that this is a defining midah of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So in the business world, when you meet somebody and you want to let him know who you are and what you do, you have a business card. And you show him the business card, it tells what company you work for, it tells what you do, what your position is. That's how you say Shalom Aleichem. Lahavdil, Elif Alf Avdolis, Naisei Ba'olam Chaveirai was the Shalom Aleichem that Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Klal Yisrael. When the Ribbono Shel Olam met Klal Yisrael Kaviyocho for the first time, this was his Shalom Aleichem. This was his business card. And how is that? Because when the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Moshe Rabbeinu, which was the beginning of the relationship that Ribbono Shel Olam had with Klal Yisrael, he appeared Mitoich HaSneh, the famous burning bush. Mitoich HaSneh Zok Rashi V'loy Ilon Acher. No other tree. Zok Rashi Mishum Imay Anoichi B'tzara. What Ribbono Shel Olam is in fact saying, I'm appearing to you in a snare. Why? Because I'm there with you. Imay Anoichi B'tzara. What Ribbono Shel Olam wants Klal Yisrael to know.
What literally is snare?
Snare is a bush.
A bush, really.
What the Rebbeinu Shlomo is in effect saying to Klal Yisrael is he shares their tzoras. And he wants us to know this about him. And that is why this midah is so important to emulate. And this is not the only time that Rebbeinu Shlomo showed us that this is his midah, this is his hanhaga, this is his practice. At the most intimate moment between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which happened at Maimon Har Sinai, at Kabbalah HaTera, at Mount Sinai, the Pasuk says, it's an amazing Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, that Kaviyochol, they saw the Rebbeinu Shlomo, if that's possible to imagine. The Sachas Raglov, and under the Kisei HaKovid, Kamaisil Livnas HaSapir, which means under the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Kisei HaKovod, the throne, was Maisa Livnas HaSapir, brickwork. It looked like bricks. Says Rashi, why bricks? Says Rashi, he hoisa lefona bishas hashibud liskert sarashin shel Yisrael, because he wanted a reminder of bricks. It's because that is what preoccupied Klal Yisrael. They suffered so much from the bricks, from the Levanim, to making the bricks. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I want bricks under my Kisei HaKovod. Lizkar Sharotin Shal Yisrael. I should remember the tzara that Klal Yisrael is going through. Now the problem is, the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't need any reminders. He doesn't need a string around his finger. So what does it mean, the Lizkar Tzarasin Shal Yisrael? Well, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is telling us that we have to have our brickwork. And that we have to have our reminders. And if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And therefore, when you want to go ahead and to practice this midah of Naisi B'olam Chaveroi, you have to have some kind of physical reminder that you should not forget what Klal Yisrael is going through. And there are countless and countless examples of Gedolei Yisrael and big people, Grayson mentioned, that used to practice this. There was once a terrible fire in the city of Brisk. In those days, you know, there was a fire, there was a bucket brigade, there was no fire department. And it destroyed half the houses in the city of Brisk. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, when people lost their homes, the Brisker Reb Chaim Soloveitchik slept on a bench in the shul. They asked Reb Chaim, why are you sleeping on a bench? He says, it's because of half of Brisk don't have roofs over their homes. They don't have homes to sleep in and beds to sleep in. I'm not going to sleep in a bed either. That's Inimah Neichi Betzara. That's sharing the pain. Doesn't make a difference if he sleeps in a bed or sleeps in a bench. What does that help anybody? The answer is, I have to feel the pain. I have to be nice to Chaveri. I heard from a reliable source that Rebbetzin Aaron Kotler, Zichroina Lavrocha, the entire time of World War II, did not put sugar in her tea to feel the pain. Does not having sugar in your tea save one Yiddish and neshama? No. But she had to be mishtatev. She had to share the pain, share the burden. And this was her symbolic demonstration of that. During the Gulf War, Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would sleep with his head off of the bed. Which obviously he would keep on falling and keep on waking up. Now Rav Shach was already an old man. They said, the Rebbe, listen, you have to get your sleep. And he says, because of my psak, of which Rav Shach paskin, that boys from America should not go back to America during during the Gulf War, because of my psak, there are parents in the United States of America who are losing sleep over this. Because they're worried about their sons. So because of my psak, people are losing sleep. I'm going to lose sleep as well. Rav Avraham Palm, the Tzadik Levracha, was the Rishiv in Teir V'Das. This happened many years ago. One of his kids, many, many years ago, one of his kids found a $5 bill on the street. It was a big deal, $5 in those days. He came home and he was so excited. I found a $5 bill. What should I do with it? How can I spend it? What am I going to buy with it? So Rav Palm told his son, he said, I'm going to put it on the dresser and we're not going to use it for a while. Because somebody is missing $5. And you shouldn't have hanoah while somebody else is suffering. Now that doesn't help the person. But it inculcates into this child, you have to feel for somebody else. I have a chaver, and we learned together in yeshiva. And in those days, as we all unfortunately remember, there were all sorts of terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael. So this Talmud asked Rav Weinberg, Zichet Tzadik Levrocha, the Rishiva in Eretz Yisrael, says, how should I be mechanech my children with a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael? Here in America, everything is hunky-dory. So Rav Weinberg said, any weekend there's a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael, no dessert on Shabbos. And what does that accomplish? What it accomplishes is that you get your children to understand the concept of Nois Bolam Chaveira. You know, one of the classic examples of personalities in Tanakh of Nois Bolam Chaveira is Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, can be said that one of the reasons Ribbono Shel Olam chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Manig Yisrael was because of this particular midah. The pasuk says, "Vayar Malach Hashem Elo Balabas Eish Mitech Hasneh." The angel appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush. Vayar Vihine Hasneh Boyer Boeish Vasneh Enenu Kol. And he'll behold, the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. Vayomer Moshe Asura Nove'ere as Hamara Hagol Hazeh. Let me check this out. Madua Lo Yivar Hasneh. Why isn't the snare being consumed? Vayar Hashem Kisor Leroy. And the Ribbono Shel Olam saw, look, Moshe Rabbeinu checked it out. This is how it started. The relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The most intimate relationship that any human being ever had with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It started because Moshe Rabbeinu checked out the snare, checked out how come it wasn't burning. So Chazal say, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Ma'u mit kisor lirais? What does it mean, kisor lirais? Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Husayir v'zayif lirais mitzorath and shal Yisrael. V'mitzrayim. L'fichach hu roi lirais roi alein v'yad v'yikre elav elokim yitech asne. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu saw? You didn't see him. Look, a house is on fire and it's not being consumed. Oh, that's an amazing sight. No! He saw in that Klal Yisrael. He saw Klal Yisrael being consumed in Mitzrayim. And he saw in the snare, in the burning bush, a metaphor. Madu lo yivar asneh. Klal Yisrael will exist. They won't be consumed. Reb Chaim Friedlander, Zichrono Livracha, makes an interesting diuk. Vayar Hashem Kisor Lirais. Reb Chaim asked, it would be easier to say Vayar Hashem Kiholach Lirais, because he went to check it out. What's Kisor Lirais? He turned away. Sechazal Shesor me Asakov. He let his own worries and his own things that was consuming him. He niach Asakov Vaholach Lirais Mitzaran She Yisrael. Forget my stuff. Forget what I'm doing. I have to check out what Klal Yisrael is doing. He abandoned all of his worries to concentrate on the plight of Klal Yisrael. And herein lies the first step in becoming a Nisei B'Oil. And that is to put aside your needs and your agenda and yourself and focus on someone else. And if you know the context of this, the Moshe Rabbeinu sees this burning bush and he says, this is Klal Yisrael. So here's a historical fact that most of us aren't aware of. The Ramban HaLatayra says that Moshe Rabbeinu left Mitzrayim when Paro was after his life. The Ramban says he was either between 12 or 19 years old. Okay? So he was a teenager. And he ran away. Okay? The next time we find Moshe Rabbeinu is when he's in Midian, when he's 80 years old. That's a gap of at least 60 years. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Where's the resume? What was he doing for 60 years? So Chazal say he went to Cush, and he was a melech in Cush, and this and that. Bottom line is, he had been out of Mitzrayim for 60 years, at least. And he sees a burning bush, and what does he see? He says, oh, that's Klal Yisrael. That's the Jewish people, Mitzrayim. You've been out of Klal Yisrael. You haven't seen another Jew in 60 years. And all of a sudden you see a burning bush. Oi! Vayar Hashem Kisor Lirois. That's Klal Yisrael. That's B'nai Yisrael. They're burning in Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? For 60 years, he kept Klal Yisrael in his mind. That makes a Manig Yisrael. Because first and foremost, he's a Nisei B'Oil. And truth be told, this is the tachlis of life itself. Reb Chaim Volozhiner's son, in his Hakdomah to his father's classic sefer, the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Volozhiner's son writes as follows: Hayorogel lohichiach aisi al is al sharoa sheineni mishtate pitzarasa dachvina. My father used to constantly mun me and ask for me and tevea for me that I am not mishtatef enough. I do not participate enough. B'nais b'luchaveira. And then Reb Chaim said these words: V'chay hayadvarei elai tomi. And thus Fleck Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Zogin says, Ein Zun used to say to his son, Shezeh kol ha'odom. This is the entire purpose of humanity. Lo la'atzmai nivra. Wasn't created for himself. Rak l'hoyo l'achrini. K'chol asher yimtze b'kaychoy lasis. You hear those words? Zeh kol ha'odom. This is why human beings are put on this earth. Loy lots manivra. You weren't created for yourself. Lach lohayo lachrini. To help others. Kachol asher yimse b'chaychei lasis. To help as much as you can. To somebody else. Zehu kol ha'odam. Far be it from me to suggest what each of us should do about being nice from Chaveray. I am not going to go ahead and tell you, don't put milk in your afternoon tea because of nice from Chaveray. But it is for each of us to decide how exactly do we put this into practice. I began this drasha by saying that the mere fact that we ask this question, how can we feel the pain of our brothers and sisters, says so much about us. It says that we are Yidden. I'd like to share with you a very short speech that was given apparently last week by Natan Sharansky at a recent Sheva Brachas. Now, with the internet being what it is today, something happens in Eretz Yisrael, and within minutes, it's all over the world. I don't know whether you've seen this or whether you've heard this, but this is a speech that he gave at a Sheva Brachas of someone named Benayahu or something like that, Dickstein, at their Sheva Brachas. This fellow, his parents were killed in a terrorist attack when he was 7 years old, lost both of his parents. This Benoya Dickstein. And now he got married, and Natan Sharansky spoke at his Sheva Brachas. Now, most of us here are old enough to remember who Natan Sharansky was. He was a refusenik that stood up to the KGB, and he broke them, and they didn't break him. He's a gibor adir. He's an incredibly strong person. To my knowledge, he's a shomer mitzvah. He stood up to the KGB. There are not many people today did that or lived to tell the tale. But this is what he said at the Sheva Brachas. Zeh Lashone, this is his Lashon. This is in Hebrew. I'll translate as I go along. Kishani Gidalti Bukhrania. When I grew up in the Ukraine, there are all sorts of nationalities there. All sorts of different types of people. Everybody had to have an identification card in Russia. And it would say what nationality you are. One would be Rusi, he's Russian, Ukraini, Ukrainian, Gruzani, he's Gruzian. Kozaki, Cossack, Zelo Yohan Kolkakoshuv. It didn't make a difference what it said, what nationality you are. Loha Yohavdol Gadol. There wasn't a big difference. Avodover Echad Hoyachashuv. There was one identification that was a big deal. Im Hoyakov Kosov Yehudi. It said on your ID card that you're Jewish. That's like you had some kind of disease. You're a leper. We knew nothing about what it means to be a Jew. This is communist Russia. In the 40s and 50s and 60s. They didn't know nothing. They didn't know from Kiddush, nor from Chometz, nor Matzah, nor Lula, nor nothing. Lo ha-yashum davar mashmuti b'zahut ha-yahadus shalonu. There was nothing. What did it mean to be a Jew? The only thing it meant, chutz mi-antishemius, except for anti-Semitism, the sin of klapeinu, and hatred towards us. Lochein, try to change his identification, whether it make a difference. You're Ukraini, Russian, it didn't make a difference. But if your ID card said Yehudi, and somehow or another you pulled strings and you got that taken out and it didn't say you're a Jew. Oh, that was a galta gesimcha. That was your ticket into society. You were no longer identified as a Jew. Now, listen to Natan Sharansky. Niskarti b'zeh ha-shavua. I was reminded of this week. Kisharisi Alfa and Noshim Omdi Bigvulot. Because I saw thousands of people standing on the border. Menasim lehimalek miha tragedia b'Ukraina, trying to escape the tragedy of the Ukraine. Heim oidim yoimim v'layla, v'yeshmila achas. There's only one word that can save you. Yehudi. If you're Jewish. Imata Yehudi. If you're Jewish, yesh bachutz Yehudim she'dagin lacha. There are Jews outside of Ukraine that worry about you. Yesh mishahu b'tzad hasheni shel hagvul. There's someone on the other side of the border she'mechapes oscha, that's looking for you. Hasikui shelcha lotzeis u'gadol. Your chances of getting out of the Ukraine are much greater. Ha'olam hishapech. The world has been turned upside down. Kishayisi yeled, when I was a child, Hayehudi haisa mila yitzas dofen l'ra. It was a ticket for bad things. Af echelo kinei banu. Nobody was jealous of us. Oh, Jew, Jews. Hayoim, today, Bigvul Ukraina. On the border of the Ukraine, Yehudi umila yotzas dofen latova. That's something good to have. Himetaeres anoshim lolechas v'yesh am shalem. There's an entire nation shehu amishpacha shelahem shemechakel lahem bachutz. There's an entire nation that's waiting and willing to help you. Davening for you, sending money, sending all sorts of things just to save you. Because you're a Jew. Because you're a Yid. And that's all that counts. And to me, this reminds me or ma'ayr me that Emir Tzashem b'karayv, when the Ribbon Eshel will come and there'll be the Kilitz Kibitz Gullius and the entire world, the entire planet, Mi'ish Ad Yishah, Mi'oil El Ad Yenek, the entire world will be jealous of us. The entire world that despised us and spit on us and killed us and tortured us. The entire world will be Mekane. And the Ribbon Eshel will take us Bimher v'yameinu b'bias m'ashia tzidkenu m'neila kom yusli arzenu b'mher v'yameinu mamash.
Amen. Thank you.